children's church. Anybody that's needs to go out for children's church, this is your time. Thank you, Doug and Shelley. Be turning in your Bibles to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll be picking up at 13 through 18. Just the thought of wisdom, and my title is Wisdom, Devilish or Divine. And we'll hash that out in just a little bit. Wisdom, devilish or divine. Let's look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, and let's stand and reverence God's Word. James chapter 3, 13 through 18. The Word of God said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to those who make peace." Let's pray, Father, for just a few moments. God, we thank you for the privilege and honor to stand here before your people. We ask, God, that you'll hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth, and we'll praise you for it. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Wisdom, devilish or divine. In a book recently, I read Dr. Oz Guinness talks about America has become the world capita for psychological mindset and therapeutic endeavor. I want us to think about this. Although America has only 6% of the world's population, it boasts over a third of the world's psychiatrists and over half of the world's clinical psychologists. Now think about that. 80 million Americans have now sought help from therapists. An estimated 10 million are doing so every year. I want you to know something. I'm not against therapy. I think that if there's nothing wrong with help and having going and meeting, but you better know where that psychiatrist and that psychologist, what their worldview is when we're going. And that's where I want to challenge us when we think about that. Where is their worldview coming? What is their mindset? What is it that they base their wisdom on today? That is so important for us as Christians. If people need therapy, I'm all for that. But make sure that when you go to a therapist, they are grounded in the Word of God. The Word of God is what can help us. And so James is looking at this thought today about wisdom. We all desire to be wise. We all desire to have understanding. Even the games that we play, trivia crack, come on. Oh, don't get all quiet on me now. I know y'all challenge me all the time over trivia. You know what? It's amazing how much nonsense that we have, right? What good is it? But that we learn. We learn as we go through life. And so wisdom is something that we all desire to seek and to know, to be wise in understanding. And the wisdom of the Lord is what James is going to show us. It's so important for us and each and every one of us today. So I want to look at this, wisdom, devilish or divine. And the first thing I want to look at in verse 13 is actions and attitudes of wisdom. Action and attitudes of wisdom. And listen to what James in the book of James says. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom." James is saying among you. Now I want you to, he's not talking to the world. Who's he talking to? The church. He's talking to the brethren. He's talking to the household of God. And he's saying, "Who is wise among you?" He's talking to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. He's referring to everyone, and he's having them to ask a question. And here's the deal. He's talking about this wisdom, who is wise and understanding. You know what? It's a dangerous thing to have wisdom without understanding. A person that don't have understanding and is wise will be proud and puffed up. There's no room for that in God's house, is there? There's no room for pride, which we all struggle with. But James is saying if somebody's wise among you, there are going to be some things that come out in his life. And first, he's going to show some actions. We're talking about the actions here. And the action is wisdom is good. Look what he says there. Let him show by his good conduct or works. James is saying if you're wise among us, it's going to come out in the life that we say. In other words, James is not talking about just saying, but doing. Being. That would probably be a better word. Being. Not just saying that we love Christ, not just saying that we're wise in the things of the Scripture, but living it out daily. And that's what he's saying, and it's good when we do that. Wisdom is good. Let him show by his actions. Let him prove that he's wise by how he lives his life. We study and we the Word and we apply it to our lives. There's many of us. We mark up our Bibles, but we need the Bible to mark us. We need to know why it is that we believe and do and act and we make our stance on certain things. We need to know that. James is saying it comes out when a life is lived like that, it's good. A man that is intelligent and does not live a life that honors God is a fool. Think about that. What good is it to be intelligent, know all the answers, or think that you do, and don't live for the Lord? How intelligent is that? Think about the Lord Jesus, our great example. When he was here on this earth, what did he do? He went around doing good, didn't he? Everywhere he went was changed and marked by goodness. People that were sick needed to touch. They brought him to Jesus. It didn't matter how tired he was, how wore out he was. That didn't bother him. He took out the time to touch people and to heal them. Think about the people when he went to the funeral services. You wanted Jesus at the funeral. Why? There wasn't no funeral. He just touched the casket and they get up. That's Jesus. He went around doing good. But the greatest good that he did even affects us here on this February day, 2015, that he came to give his life that we could all be in the children and family of God. And here we see it. So his goodness is still touching us, 2015. And he'll continue to do that in a world that so desperately needs that goodness. Wisdom is good. We need to show that goodness to a lost and dying world, to a world without hope, where people are so hopeless. Go around and live that out. James is not interested in our words. Again, he's interested in our works. Well, not only is wisdom good, that's the action that we live out this goodness, but look at the attitude. Wisdom is gentle. It said that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. This is, and it's talking about a gentle spirit, having a gentle spirit. Here's the deal. We don't need to be phony, okay? We don't need to play games. We don't need to act like we're something that we're not. We need to be real before the world. We need to be real before each other. If you're having a bad day, don't put on some Cheshire smile and plastic grin. I'm fine. Just say, I'm having a bad day. Will you pray for me? I'm serious. It doesn't matter what we're going through. If somebody asks you, oh, we're good. We're good. It's like that's just that we're supposed to do that, right? We're not supposed to share in what's going on. And many times we have all these things that are going on in our life that the world's pulling at us and tugging at us. And we just need somebody, you know, to be real and say, will you please pray for me? Wisdom's gentle. A wise person is gentle. They have this idea, this attitude of meekness. You said, what is meekness? We don't like that. We mountain men. We don't need to be meek. That's right. We hunt deer and rabbits. We ain't meek. I rabbit hunted all night last night. I'm wore out this morning. Listen, this meekness, what is meekness? It's strength under control. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus when he was being beaten. And the Scripture says in Colossians that he created everything. We talk about that by his word, by Christ. All things were created. All things were sustained. While he's getting beat by a bunch of sinful heathens, he could have said, let there not be. And there wouldn't have been, okay? That's meekness is strength under control. And when we have true wisdom, James is saying, you know what? We're going to be gentle. We're going to be meek in it. We're not going to fly off every time. Now, you're talking to a guy that's always struggled with anger. Always, all my life. When I got mad, you know what? I was going to tear something up. I mean, seriously. seriously, you just get mad and I want to take the foot and throw something. And so, but that's not meekness. That's not gentleness in the Lord. That doesn't represent Christ. And so that we have to be very careful. Is it all right to be angry and sin? Not the Scripture tells us that. We should get angry about the sin in our world. Some of the garbage that's going on around us. We should get angry about that. But that doesn't mean throwing a microwave phone through the wall. That means praying. That means strength under control. That means standing up for what's right. It means living for Jesus. Strength under control. A wise man, you know what? He's good and he's gentle. Good and gentle. James said that's our actions and our actions and our attitude of wisdom. Good and gentle. But then I want us to look, he makes a little cut here to different kinds of wisdom, and we'll see that. First is devilish wisdom, and we'll see where we get that. Look what it says in verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, see, and he's saying, but the gentle and good, this offset of what it's supposed to look like, and he says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where every self-seeking, where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. Devilish wisdom, he said. I want us to look at three things that James is showing as a devilish wisdom. First, that it's revealed. Look at verse 14. And what does it say? But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. It's revealed through what? Through our actions, through envy, through strife, through bitterness. He's talking about being a selfish person, a jealous person. With people, when good things happen to somebody, being jealous over those things. Or to envy and say, it's all about me and what I want and my thing. And James said that this devilish wisdom will be revealed in that, the way that we act and how we see life. Somebody that you just love to see fail. Does that sound like wisdom? James said that this devilish wisdom will be revealed in our life by our actions and how we treat and how we look at others. Is life all about you? Do you find yourself making sure it all revolves around your plans and what you want? And if it doesn't happen, you get a little upset. James says that's devilish wisdom. Listen to what Sam Jones, a quote that he made. When dogs fight over bones, it's a sign that bones are scarce. Think about that. When dogs fight over bones, it's a sign that bones are scarce. When men fight over things in the church, it's a sign that Jesus is scarce. When we come to God's house, it's not about what we want. It's not about us getting upset because something didn't go the way it is. It's about a Savior, Jesus Christ. And when He's scarce, we'll fight amongst ourselves. But when He's present, He'll keep our focus on what's the most important thing. And that's what Aaron said today when he got up challenging. It's reaching a lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When that's not center, when that's not focus in our body, we'll go to fighting over stupid things that don't mean nothing. Nothing. And that's what James said. That wisdom does not come from God. It comes from the devil. And we'll see that. He'll play that out. Because not only is this devilish wisdom revealed in verse 14, but he shows its roots in 15. Look what it says in verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. James said, hey, you know what? If you're controlled by your own desires, what you want, your selfishness, it ain't coming from God. Where's it coming from? Well, look what he says. He gives us three things here. Earthly first. This is the root of this devilish wisdom. Earthly. It's worldly wisdom. Using our minds. You know what? It's running the church like a business. This is not a business. This is God's house. This is God's place. This is not a business. This is where we come and worship. We read in our Sunday school lesson, and Lynn done a great job today, and talking about Nehemiah, and when they came back, and they finally rebuilt those walls, and then they started rebuilding the spiritual walls, and the people, he got Ezra the scribe to come out, and they bring the book of the law. 70 years they had been without that word. I'm going to tell you, think about it, if they took away from church 70 years, you'd be dry, wouldn't you? You'd be looking forward. I dare say we come in here, we wouldn't just be laid back, but we would be celebrating like they were. They were worshiping. They were down on their face and all these things. But you know what they did? When he opened that book, they stood up. They stood up. Kind of, that's one of the reasons why we reverence God's word in his house today. But you know what? They stood there for 6 hours. Wilma said, "Don't you get no ideas, David." 6 hours they stood and they reverenced God's word. Why? They were hungry for God's word. And it's not about these roots that we see. It wasn't about an earthly wisdom. It wasn't about running the church. It was about them understanding that they had sinned before God. And they, before it was over with, they were crying and they were just so upset. Why? Because they realized, man, they had been in captivity for 7 years and God had this wonderful book for them and they had missed the mark. Boy, we all miss the mark every week. This is the time that we come together. Our team last week we were talking about, this is the greatest team of all. This is our huddle time. That we come and we draw strength from one another. That we worship God. But you know what? We go outside these walls and that's where we take the gospel. If you please, that's where the game is played. Outside the walls when we leave here. That's when we make a difference. And James says, man, if you have this wisdom that's rooted, it'll be rooted in earthly things. You know what you'll do? Your whole life will be consumed with earthly things. Making, paying those bills. It'll be all about this and that and getting this and getting that, not having this, not having that. That's a part of life, by the way, but that should not be the center of our whole focus and our whole life and our whole world. It should not, because James said that's earthly. And then he says the next thing, not only earthly, but sensual. And he's not talking about an erotic thing or something to do with sex. He's talking about natural. He's talking about a person's common sense. They use the natural instincts. It just feels right. It just feels the right thing. You ever had anybody said that? I just feel like God's wanting me to do this. And when it doesn't line up with this word, God didn't say it. I don't care what you say or what kind of feeling you got or how many goose pimples you got. It has nothing to do with it. If it doesn't go through the screen of God's word and it says, thus says the word of God, leave it alone. It ain't from God. And now people will use anything in the world to justify, this is what I feel like God's wanting me to do. And it'd be something totally contrary from God's word. It ain't from God. In fact, it's from the devil. We'll see that. Next. Sensual. Just using common sense. Just instinctive. Go off of instinct. Heard me say many times. It has nothing to do with goose pimples. You pluck a chicken, it's got goose pimples on it. I'm serious. But so many people, oh, I just didn't feel it. Not only earthly, sensual, but demonic, devilish. Look, this is where it comes from. It comes from where? Satan. Well, Satan, all he wanted to do, what he wanted, to be like God. In fact, he's the greatest example of this kind of wisdom. Did he not say, hey, I will exalt myself above God? God had created him, yet he wanted to be like God. And what did he do? He used that in the garden to trip us up, and here we are. The same thing. He used that wisdom to say, hey, don't you, did God say that? Did God make you question? Did God say that? God knew that when you eat of that fruit that you'd be like him. Just go ahead. Take a bite. You see, that's our greatest weakness is our sin and us, our pride, wanting to be like God. We want to be God of our lives. We want to be in control. Why? We don't want anybody to have control, man. We want to say what we want to do when we want to do it as much as we want to do it. James said, man, that's not wisdom from God. That's from the devil. He says earthly, sensual, demonic. You know what he's saying? The world, the flesh, and the devil. That's where this kind of wisdom comes from. And then look at the results. So we got that it's revealed through our envy, our strife. Its roots are from the earthly, sensual, demonic. But then the results, verse 16, what does it say there? For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. There's no peace, no happiness, no victory, nobody getting saved, nobody getting baptized, just confusion and a bunch of bickering, aggravated people that just want their way. James said that's where wisdom from the devil comes. Are we capable of doing that? You better believe we are. Each and every one of us. If we don't stay close to God and we don't keep the main thing, we're all capable of that, each and every one of us. That's why it's so important that each and every one of us stays close and clean to the Lord. Why? Because we're all important here. Each and every person that's here, you are not here by coincidence. God has you here for a purpose, and you're important unto Him. Well, that's a look at devilish wisdom. Let's look at divine wisdom, verse 17 and 18. Word of God says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now he's talking about divine wisdom, not from the devil, but from the Lord. Wisdom that comes from above. I want us to look, there's some things that, first of all, this kind of wisdom, it overcomes sin. What does it say? The wisdom that is from above is first pure. Do you realize our purity? Each and every one of us, not just, it's the same standard for the pulpit and the pew, by the way. You'll hear me say that time and time again. No difference. Our purity before the Lord is our strength unto God. As a body of believers, it's so important we think that, hey, we're not going to hurt anybody. Listen to this. If you've got sin in your life and you're living in sin, you're weakening the body. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us, it's our purity. This wisdom that comes from God understands that the sin, it overcomes sin in our life. Are we all tempted? You better believe it. We're all tempted. Some of the things that come in my mind, I'd hate for them to be plastered up on this screen. I'm a man. There's no difference. It's every one of you guys. We struggle, and here's the deal. We don't allow sin to have a foothold in our life. Why? Because there's be no power in our lives or in the church when that happens. It's purity before the Lord. Ladies, the same thing with you. You don't sit around and gossip. You don't wish or look or let somebody else. You look at our advertisements today. And it's geared towards a lot towards the lady. Why? They think this is how you got to look and all these things to be a woman that everybody looks at. She's successful. It's a lie from the pit. You know what a godly lady looks back? Go to Proverbs 31. God, don't buy into the lie. This wisdom that comes from above, it overcomes sin. It'll show us that sin is stupid. Impurity is not wise. I said the S word, stupid. But it is. Sin's stupid. Sin is stupid. And it overcomes impurities in our life. We desire to be more Christ-like. Well, not only that, look at this next. Not only does it overcome sin, but it overcomes strife. Then it's peaceable. We don't use this Bible as a club. Okay? This is not, we don't have a right to go out and club people over the head with the truth of God, point our fingers like we're holier than thou. Where does that get us? It drives people away. Nobody wants to be around people that's like that. There's nobody holier than thou anyway. We're just a bunch of sinners, ragtag sinners that Christ has saved. And by the grace of God and by the love of God, we should not beat people over the head, but we should reach out with this and reach a lost world. If we don't get to that, you know what? The church is doomed. That's what they look at the church as being, just a bunch of people that take God's word and beat people over the head with it. It's useless. James says, you know what? It's peaceable. This wisdom that comes from above, it overcomes strife. It's peaceable. We're not fighting and cantankerous. We're not looking for a fight. We're looking to love people into the kingdom. It's time for us to change. You know what? When we wound our brothers and sisters, we wound ourselves. Think about that. When we wound our brothers and sisters, we wound ourselves. Well, not only does it overcome sin, it overcomes strife, but it overcomes stubbornness. Look, gentle, willing to yield. There's that word gentle again. Willing to yield. Wow, they're so stubborn. Does that sound? Seriously. We wear that like a badge sometimes. Oh, he's so stubborn, she's so stubborn. That's not a badge. In fact, the wisdom that comes from divine wisdom that says they're willing, gentle, willing to yield. You know, we live on our convictions, and we base our belief off of convictions. But there's some things, you know, that we don't have to have our way in everything. We should never be rigid and inflexible when it comes. comes to things that don't matter. Okay? We should be willing to heal, loving people, keeping the focus on what's the most important thing, and that's Christ being left and pick up, lifted up. Take our stand on the Word, not our preferences. Come on. We all have preferences. Taking our stand on the Word, not our preferences. Well, next, not only does it overcome sin, it overcomes strife, it overcomes stubbornness, but it overcomes selfishness. Look, full of mercy and good fruits, real wisdom is not always thinking of itself. You know what it's thinking of? Others. Who does that sound like? Christ. Thinking of others. It's merciful to other people. There's no emptier life than one that is self-centered. Here's the deal. Is your life self-centered or is it Christ-centered? You have to answer that for the Lord. Is your life self-centered or Christ-centered? Something for us to think about. James says, wisdom that comes from above overcomes selfishness. And not only that, but it overcomes snobbishness. See, that word? Hey, we've got to make it work sometimes. Snobbishness, listen. We should never be, when people walk in this door, back here, thank you for my greeters. They should be greeted with a handshake and a smile and love, and they should feel loved. And no matter what they look like, what they got in their ears, what they got on their arms, it doesn't matter. Where they come in the house, I don't care if you're wearing overalls or a three-piece suit, you should feel at home here. Why? Because God's people are here and should welcome them in. We should never be snobby whatsoever. In fact, wisdom from above. What do we got to be snobby about? Let me ask you that. What do we got to be snobby about? It's God's house. It's God's Word. It's God's Holy Spirit. It's God's breath that He's using for us to breathe. By the way, do you like that breath? I do. You cut it off, I'll show you how much you like it. How about your heartbeat? Every heartbeat that we got is God's. How can we be snobby about anything? To whom much is given, much is required. And we've been given, not only have we been given life, but we've been given it more abundantly through Christ. We should be the ones that are out front, loving and greeting and inviting people in. How in the world is the lost world going to hear about Jesus if they're met at the door with a bunch of snobs that think they're better than anybody else? It ain't going to happen. I'm thankful for this church that you're loving and inviting. Invite people in. Make them feel comfortable. That's one of the reasons, you know, when I invite people, here's what I tell them. So you come out. If you don't feel at home, you don't have to come back. I mean that. Thank you for being that kind of church. We need to continue. That wisdom comes from above. Aren't you glad God doesn't show or play favorites? He don't give partiality to nobody. Aren't you glad that God didn't do that to us? Where would we be if He did? Well, it overcomes sin, overcomes strife, overcomes stubbornness, overcomes snobbishness, and it overcomes shame. Look what it says. And without hypocrisy. When a person's wise, you can look past the facade and games that people play, and you can see a soul worthy to become a Christian. Without hypocrisy. And this is the most difficult thing for us to do. When we look past how people are now and see what they could be. Serving Christ is without hypocrisy, and this wisdom comes. Don't tell me that you love Jesus if you're not sharing Jesus. Don't tell me you love Him if you're not sharing the good news of the gospel. If you're not out trying to reach people with the answer to all their problems. We don't have hypocrisy in our life. That's what divine wisdom is all about. Is that there's something bigger than us that's going on. And it's called Jesus Christ and His gospel. He came to this earth. He gave His life on Calvary. He was buried, died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That is the answer. And if you place your trust in Him, that's your all the answers to the world's problems. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then share it. In love. Share that. because we knew that truth, and yet we never passed it on. Will we? Something for us to think about. When we stand before the Lord one day, guilty, because we said that we loved Christ, but we never told anybody else about it. It's a hypocrite who knows the answer to life's problems and doesn't share it. James says, a pair of people with wisdom from above are without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. I'm going to ask you, when was the last time you invited somebody to church? You answer that, but I know we had a great, we had 96 in Sunday school today, and thank you for that, but I still see empty pews here, and I'm not talking about growing in church so everybody can say, look what South Fork Baptist Church is doing. That doesn't mean a hill of beans to me. I'm talking about when people represent families, moms and dads, it represents children, it represents people that need to know the gospel, it represents people that need hope. That's the only reason I want to see more people here, so they can hear and know that, hey, this is a church full of imperfect people. If you're looking for a perfect church, I always say this too. Don't come. Why? Because I'm here. That's it. It's not a perfect church. No perfect churches, but we serve a perfect Savior. And we love and we reach out. When's the last time that you just invited somebody to come to church with you? Say, come on and go with me, man. Hey, that breakfast up there, them guys fix bacon and gravy biscuits and sausage and grits and all these good things. Hey, that'll get somebody to come. Nothing else will, right? The preaching ain't good, but the breakfast is wonderful. Listen, we have so many tools in place now. We do it here to invite people and love them. But you know the reason why I asked you that? Let me be honest with you, because I'm your pastor. The reason I asked you that, because I know this for a fact. If you're not inviting people to come to church with you, you sure ain't telling them about Jesus. That's just all there is to it. If you can't even invite somebody to come to church, you sure ain't sharing the gospel. And that's where we need to get to, is not just invite people to church, but sharing the gospel out wherever you're at. You, every one of you, I'm looking at a room full of missionaries that have somebody that they can touch and reach, share the gospel. And when we're wise with divine wisdom, that's what our life's about. We're not just going through the motions that the rest of the world is, trying to get our career, trying to get our houses, trying to get to retirement so we can do whatever it is we want to do. That's not what life's all about. Life's about a Savior, a gospel message that can change the world, your world, and the world around you. And James said, that's where divine wisdom comes from. Applications. Number three. Are you wise in the things of the Lord or the things of the world? You have to answer that before God. Are you a wise person in the things of the world? There might be certain things that you can do, whether it's mechanically, whether it's psychologically, whether it's whatever you do, that you're wise in those things. There's nothing wrong with that as long as the wisdom of the God is backing that up. But is that the only wisdom that we had? Or is it just the wisdom of the world, or is it the wisdom of God? And James showed us today the difference in that. The second one, can people see Jesus in you? If you had to be taken to court and accused of being a Christian, would they find enough to convict you with it? The people will say, yeah, this person, wait a minute, this person, this, and he's convicted! He's a Christian! Think about that. Does people see Jesus in you, or do they see the world? Just see another good old boy. We talk hunting, fishing, dogs, trucks, guns, you name it. We can talk it, but when it comes to Jesus, we get real clammy. Real clammy, real quick. How does the world see you? Something for us to think about is when we're out there in Michigan. Then lastly, when was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? Now, I'm not trying to beat you up. Hard, wait a minute. I'm not trying to beat you up. If you haven't done it lately, just do it. Hey, do the next thing right. Tell somebody about Christ this week. Purpose in your heart before the Lord. Hey, you know what? I'm going to look for that opportunity. Don't beat yourself up on what you haven't do. Look forward to what you can do. Listen to what Proverbs 11:30 says. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And he who wins souls is wise. Are you a wise person? Let him come and play for us. Are you a wise person? Are you about looking for opportunities to share the good news of Jesus? Are you looking for opportunities to tell somebody about a Savior that came to this earth and gave his life for you and for them? What kind of wisdom are we using today, this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Stand to our feet as we'll be playing. I want to ask you today, are you saved? You say, what are you talking about? Are you saved? Do you know that you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does he dwell within you? Are there markers in your life that you know that you're a Christian, that you've accepted? Are there a point in your life that you know that you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and he changed you? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, that's woman, boy, girl, is in Christ or a new creation, that means you became new. Why? Because Jesus moved in. Do you know that for sure? Do you know that your life might be required of you before you get home this afternoon? And you'll stand before a holy God and give an account for that. The sad part about preaching the message of God is, you know what? The very words that go forth that bring life condemn you also. Because you'll never be able to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't know. You don't have any excuse. I just want you to know something. I don't want that to happen. I want you to receive Christ and you never receive. I'm going to give the first part of our invitation to that. I want us to bow our heads. Pray to the Lord. Make sure you know that God's in your heart. If he's not, then I want you to come forward and receive Jesus. Just in a time of quietness first. Nothing better that you can do today. I won't linger long. The Spirit of God's talking to you. This is your time. What about those, I guess everybody's professing that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, what about you? Have you shared the gospel with anybody? Have you really had a burden for lost people around you? God knows that, and he knows your heart. If you would like God to give you a better, more of a burden, if you would like for that gospel to be part in front of your life, just come forward and tell the Lord, Lord, sometimes I catch myself just living like the world. I want to live like Christ. I want to look for opportunities to share the gospel. Or something's heavy on your heart, you just need to leave it at the altar right now. This is your time. Brittany, you can sing a stanza right here.
Just as I
anybody else?